Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mansfield Christian Church. We're happy to have you this morning. Thank you for being here. This week, as I was driving around, I began to notice like the leaves on the trees are changing. The colors are changing. I saw some leaves in the road as I was driving, and the weather began to become cooler, and I was reminded that fall is here. And as I was thinking about fall, and I had talked to my dad this week, I was reminded of the first time I got to go deer hunting. And it was truly a joyous moment. I'm sure Wayne can reflect, and some of you can reflect on the first time you ever went deer hunting. We need to go back to a time where I was about 10 years old. I was a lot shorter, still skinny as a rail, just a fun kid. And some things you should know about me as a 10-year-old was that I like to sleep. So I was known for sleeping, staying up real late, and then sleeping in all day, waking up about 12 o'clock, and my parents would get so frustrated. But I remember the first time we ever went deer hunting, for the first time in my life, I was excited to wake up at 4 a.m. I was excited to go sit in the deer wood, in the woods, at the prospect of shooting my first deer. Some could even say I was captivated by the prospect of deer hunting, that this captivation was excitement in my heart for the possibilities of shooting a deer. In fact, I did get a deer that first year. I shot a little basket 8-point buck, but it was the itch that lit the fire for the rest of my life. And this idea of captivation is where we're going to be headed this morning. But before we get there, we need to kind of reflect on where we've been over the last 8 weeks or so. And so we started with this concept of John is really building, and he starts with this idea that God is light and we are not light. And so therefore, we were separated from God, but because of Jesus, we are in the light as well. And then he moves on to something that I think we as a church do really well, and that is that community is key, that relationship is the cog that keeps the church together, and I think we do that really well here. And then he goes on to the warning of do not love the world, because you can't love God if you love the world. They're separate things. And last week we walk through this message that the Christian life is difficult, but it is worth it. And the sentence that I want you to take, if I give you one thing, take this: never lose sight of the wonder of God. Now, that would be an amazing message. I'm sure I would get some amens on that. Some people would take some stuff from that. But as I was studying the text for this week, I don't think it fulfills everything that John is trying to say for us. And so I want to give you the rest of my dominant thought. Never lose sight of the wonder of God, because your captivation will lead to your transformation. Never lose sight of the wonder of God, because your captivation will lead to your transformation. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 1 John 3. We're going to read the entire passage in its context, and then we'll begin to break it down verse by verse. So beginning in verse 3, John writes this: "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." there's a lot to digest there. There's a lot going on in this passage. But we should begin in verse 1, and John says this in verse 1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." John begins this passage by making a statement worth noting, right? That we should be captivated by the love of God. That we should be captivated by the love of God. Now, this word captivization, honestly, I've used it quite a bit in my life, and I don't think I actually knew what it meant. And so, as I'm studying for this message, I looked it up in the dictionary, because that's where we go when we don't know what words mean. And this idea of captivation, the dictionary defines it as this: the state of being intensely interested, as by awe or terror, as by awe or terror. The captivation in John's eyes is the fact that we are called children of God. Don't miss that, church. That John is saying that he is captivated by the title that we have been given. We are children of God. John then proclaims that the captivation we have is not shared by the world. Don't miss that. John says, we are children of God, but the world does not see it because they do not know God. So therefore, they are not God's children. See, the world is captivated by many things. Money, celebrities, fame, fortune, power, And if we're being honest, none of these things that captivates the people of the world will lead to a true fulfillment in life. These things may capture you for a short period of time, but the captivation does not lead to fulfillment. That's not a fulfilling way to live your life. I think we should think about this in these terms. Think about it in this way. Many of us have hobbies or something we enjoy to do in our lives. And we're captivated by these things for a short period of time, right? Like, these things will get us to be excited about them and want to continuously do them for a short period of time. But eventually, when things get difficult, we begin to lose our captivation. We begin to lose our interest, and they kind of get pushed to the back burner. I have a friend, actually a cousin even, in the personal training industry. He works at a gym. He's a very successful personal trainer, but he said this idea of captivation is why gyms are the most profitable in January and the least profitable in August. Because people become captivated at the beginning of the year. This is seen every single year on January 1st. What do we say? I'm going to get healthy this year. I'm going to eat right this year. And we're all excited and we're captivated by the thought of looking different, being renewed, being made new. But when life gets difficult, we lose sight of the goal, because we're no longer captivated by the motivation to do such a thing. Simply put, we lose sight of the thing that captivated us to begin with, and eventually it fails to fulfill. We fail to fulfill our goal. John is simply saying in this opening verse, church, never lose sight of what captivated you about the possibility of a relationship with God. Keep that in your hearts at all times. This is a framework that we must have as we move through the text this morning, that we must be captivated by the love of God at all times. We must be captivated by the love of God at all times. And so in verse 2, John says this, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we have has not yet appeared." And then in verse 3, he continues saying, "But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." John is making the case that captivation leads to transformation. That when Christ returns, he will be pure. Now, we know that this purity is the requirement for the purification of us, because we are impure, and so Christ had to be pure. And it's something, if we recall from just the beginning of John's letter, that we could never be pure. God is light, we are not. And so Christ had to be pure to bring us back to the equivalence, to be in right relationship with God. And yet what John is saying is, when we are truly captivated by God, we are transformed to look more like Christ, because we devote ourselves to his teaching instead of the world. Did you catch that in this verse? John says, "But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." See, this means, what this means, if we're captivated by God's glory, what this means is that we're deeply studying the Word, allowing it to transform who we are. That the inner beings of us begin to be reworked, reshaped, remolded to look just like God. This also means obeying his commandments, doing the things that he's asked us to do, being continuously in prayer, in relationship with one another, living the life that God has called us to do, living the Christian life. And if you remember last week, that life isn't easy, but it's what we're called to do. John kind of summarizes, if I was going to summarize what John is saying here, it means that the gospel begins to rework the inner fibers of who you are. I don't know who you were before you met or became captivated by Jesus, but I can tell you who I was. I was a broken person in a broken world looking for some sort of refuge, some sort of place for me to go where I no longer felt the shame of the life that I was living. And to tell you the truth, church, I searched long and far for that refuge, and I never found it until I began to look at Jesus, before I began to look at God for that refuge. And what I found in the world was a momentary refuge, but what you find in Jesus is the one that lasts forever. It's the refuge that will lead you through your life. And I'm here today to proclaim to you that the refuge that we find in Jesus, the captivation in Jesus, is everlasting, that it does not end. This is the refuge we receive if we allow God's glory to captivate us so that we can be transformed and renewed. Acts tells us that this transformation will reshape our innermost beings. If you recall back to Acts 2, the people were what? Cut to the heart. Their hearts were cut deep, and they were transformed by the awe of the speaking in tongues of that moment, and it drew them closer to God. And John kind of continues in this theme as he moves into the next section of the text. He says, Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. John is leading us to this thought that the transformative experience is not easy. That the transformative experience is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. That remaining captivated is difficult in a world that constantly tries to steal your captivation. But things that we should know is that these difficulties are not mutually exclusive to us. We think of in a world where we have things like the internet and TV, and we can get anything we want at the tip of our finger, we think, oh yeah, the early church probably didn't struggle with this idea of remaining captivized and focused on God. But friends, Mark tells us the contrary. Mark 10:22. Now, just to set this up, if you're not familiar with this story, this is a young man had come to Jesus, and he's very wealthy. He's known as the rich young ruler. And he's coming to Jesus to ask about entering the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, or the rich young man says this to Jesus. And he said to him, "Teacher, I've kept these things from my mouth." Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said to him, "One thing..." Oh, it's different on the screen. I got the... Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" See, the thing about the rich young ruler was he was captivated momentarily. He was captivated by the thought of entering heaven, but the things of his life, the things that he had, weren't worth giving up for him to be in the glory of God. When he counted the cost, he determined it wasn't worth it. John is making the case that when we sin, we show God that we've lost our captivation in him. That sin is a decaptivation of the glory of God. And so we need to remain captivated in God. I was thinking about a transformative experience for me, and one that I probably tell a lot of stories about, but basic training was a transformative experience in my life. When I went to basic training, I was this 18-year-old punk, had just graduated high school, working on the farm, thought I knew everything, and in reality, I probably knew nothing. And for the first couple of weeks, right, I was captivated by the things that we were taught, and I was really locked in and listening well and taking notes and trying to learn new things. But as the time went on, I became less and less captivated, less and less focused on the things that were being taught to me. And there was this statement that was made there that I still carry with me to this day, and so I want to share it with you. It's this, that complacency kills. Now, you may not completely understand that statement, but the concept is this, that the less captivated you are about the situations you were in, about the training that you're learning, when you get into a moment where you need to use that training, it won't be at the center of who you are and thus could cost someone their life. See, John is making the case that being dedicated to the Scriptures is no different. When you lose sight of the glory of God, then you're eventually going to lose your life. And not only will you lose your life, but you may cause others to lose their life as well. And so the thought this morning, the plea for you this morning, church, is that we as a church remain captivated by the glory of God, that we remain glued and locked in to this glory, so that the wonder of God, the wonder of God continues to transform who you are, so that we in turn as a church can look more and more like God each and every day. This is the hope that we have, and it wouldn't be possible without Jesus. Wouldn't be possible without God sending His Son to sacrifice Him for us so that we could sit in the glory of God and be in one relationship with Him. I talked a little bit about Second Temple Judaism last week, and even this week in my class, we were in that history class, we were talking about Jews, and this is the thing that even modern day Jews still struggle with, because they don't see Jesus as the Messiah. And so they have no possibility of truly sitting in the glory of God because they don't accept the sacrifice of His Son. In church, we can't be like them. We need to continuously seek out Jesus, continuously sit in God's glory, because we should never lose sight of the glory of God, because our captivation will lead to our transformation. Let me make it clear for you this morning as we close. Never lose sight of the glory of God, because as you're focused on the glory, you'll begin to look more like God. You'll begin to look more like God. So, as we close this morning, my hope is that you'll be reminded of the things that captivated you about Jesus and about God, and you'll think on them, reflect on them this week, and maybe relight that fire just a little bit more, to put a couple logs on the flame, as my grandfather would say, and raise the temperature just a little bit in your heart. And so I don't know what those stories are. I would love to have conversations with you after service this morning, to hear some of those stories, some of those, what captivated you about God. That would be a great conversation to have. But my hope is that you reflect on them, maybe write them down, maybe share them with someone else in the church, someone that you're close with, and kind of use that as a way to encourage one another. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the fact that you encourage us to be captivated by your glory, that your glory lights a fire in our hearts that we can't contain or control, and leads us closer and closer to you. We're thankful for your Son, for the sacrifice that you made with him so that we could in turn be in relationship with you. It's in your holy and heavenly name we pray. Amen.